Hey there, Ford Alliance, our extended digital family. We are just so glad to partake of communion today. It's at the forefront of our thoughts as we come to this last line of the Lord's Prayer. This culmination, this benediction, if you will. Thine are, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. These last couple weeks, we had a couple heavy messages, and it was necessary in the season to go through those, and it was significant. And I did my best to use the word struggle and battle and not the word war, because the war has been won. And this verse, this final line of the prayer, if you will, it reminds us that God has won the victory, doesn't it? In the midst of whatever we face, God has won the victory. Now, here's the great irony for me as I took time to study, as I took time to meditate, to just reflect on this. This victory, for us to pray that very line, it came through submission. Submission is a word that we've, in many ways, villainized, if you will, today. It's seen as a word of harshness or a word of wickedness, word of putting force upon another, if you will. But just think about it. We just partook of the communion table, a reflection on Jesus's death, his burial, and his resurrection, his life given for us. And at the climactic moment of his life, he said this, not my will, but your will. A victory through submission. Submission to the Father. I mean, submission is so villainized, if you will, or so thought of as something negative that as a fan of mixed martial arts, if someone was to submit me, it means we've lost. Or you've lost. But the way of Jesus, the ancient way of Jesus, the way of the Jesus people, aka his church, is a way of submission. Modeled by none other than Jesus himself. A willingness to submit to the Father, to put others before himself, and to serve. And so we get to this line, this part of the Lord's Prayer where we say, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever, amen. And it's possible because Jesus submitted. And so I would put out there a thought that I'd been wrestling with as I've been working through this as well, and it's this. Now perhaps one of the greatest marks of maturity, of the willingness to wrestle through this very verse, is to be one who, like Jesus, submits. Who puts others before themselves. Who offers their life as a sacrifice, as an opportunity to serve others. I just found myself really moving in and out of that thought that Jesus made this line possible, this victorious line possible, because he submitted, he surrendered, he served. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, talks about how Jesus himself did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he humbled himself, took the position of a servant or a slave, even in some translations, to the point of even death. But it was that death, it was that act, that act of love, of sacrifice, of service to us that we just celebrated via communion, that ultimately won the war, that brought us to this place of victory where with confidence we declare, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, Yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. I was studying and prepping this, and it's really interesting because I want to take us to Matthew chapter 6, which is where we've been. And I think this is a really interesting sign note that kind of puts the emphasis back on where we started, God. Because if you're looking in your Bible at Matthew chapter 6, you'll see verse 13, and in most of your translations, you'll notice that as it's reading here, it doesn't actually say, thine or yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's not even there in most of your translations. Interesting, yet that's how we've learned it. Instead, you'll notice a footnote or an asterisk in my Bible. There's an asterisk. So today we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse asterisk, where we get to, yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so you might ask yourself, well, what is going on? Why is this verse that I always thought was there not there here in the Bible? Like, what? Well, here's the background. Here's a little bit of the story on what happened and when why it happened here. Our oldest Greek manuscripts, our oldest manuscripts, most reliable manuscripts of Matthew and the Lord's Prayer actually don't include the verse that we've called asterisks, which is why most of your Bibles don't have it there. They have the asterisks or the footnote. So most would believe or suggest or put out there that at the Sermon on the Mount, as we find it here, Jesus actually didn't speak that line out there. Well, where did it come from? Why is it added? I thought the Bible was without error. And, you know, all these questions might immediately come. Well, here's the story. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, was so significant in the early church that they used it whenever they partook of communion like this together. They used it whenever they participated in baptism. By the way, wink, wink, that's coming up, just so you know. They used this prayer on the regular as they gathered. It was so, so significant, but they realized like there needed to be some form of a conclusion, an amen, right? And so it became so entrenched that there was this end that was added to the Lord's Prayer by the very first generation, generation one of the Jesus way, the church, that they would say, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever, amen, that it made itself into a number of really old manuscripts, just not our earliest ones. So you might be, well, why would you add? Like, that just seems like it's not right. Well, they actually didn't add scripture. They pulled scripture from somewhere else. And so this is really cool. I want to bring it out because I think it's just super interesting. They actually took this line from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Now, if you on your own or just at home want to read an incredibly beautiful prayer, read 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to the end. It's awesome. All right, it's so, so powerful. But just check out, if you will, with me right now, this prayer by David in verse 11 of chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. It reads strikingly familiar. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, a word I just used even, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in heaven on earth is yours. Here we go again. O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. This prayer meant so much to them in the early church that they used it at every significant moment, that they wanted to ensure there was a natural way to like wrap it up, to put an end on it in the same way that we begun, and to ensure that end was God. And so they used 1 Chronicles 29, 11. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. And this prayer remains with us 2,000 years later. And this prayer, as I thought about it, is not only a victory prayer. It too really is a prayer of service, a prayer of surrender. And yes, for us who know Jesus today, a prayer of submission. Yours is the kingdom. I serve your kingdom. I surrender to your kingdom. I submit to your kingdom. Yours is the power. I serve because of your power. I surrender to your power. I submit to your power. Yours is the glory. I serve because of your glory. I surrender because of your glory. I submit because of your glory. Forever and ever. Amen. To even pray, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory, is a prayer that brings us to the place where we acknowledge, we submit. We submit to the one true living God. His kingdom, his power, and his glory. And like I said, I'd suggest that the most mature, those who are really wrestling with this, get to that place where they're okay with a heart and a desire to submit to the one true living God. Now here's what's really cool, at least for me as I was just processing this and considering these thoughts. What really for me ultimately shows, and for me at least, and this might not resonate with you, but for me at least, proves that he truly is the sovereign, almighty, holy, 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 living God, is that yes, the kingdom, the power, the glory is his, but he does not force any of us. He does not force me, he does not force you, he doesn't force you who are at home to surrender, to submit. He's so sure of himself. He's so certain that he would never force you to submit. He leaves it up to you. He leaves it up to you in such a way that he provides a means, and we remembered that means via communion. Jesus gave his life. And says, now it's up to you. You can choose to say, I'm sorry. You can choose to say, Jesus, now will you forgive me? And you can choose to say, God, here my life is yours. But it's ultimately, it's up to you. He allows you the freedom to submit or not. It's your choice. But this line, it reminds us that his victory has come, his victory has been won, and it happened because Jesus submitted, said, not my will, but yours. And puts at the forefront of our hearts, our mind, will we, like Jesus, do the same? We wrap up today in the same way that we began, focusing on God. And I'm so excited for how we're wrapping up, because really we're wrapping up with the exclamation mark on everything I just said, because we have four people who want to declare to you publicly that they submit to Jesus, that they have surrendered to Jesus, that they long to serve him, and they have done so through baptism. And so may this for us today just be an inspiration to spur us on, if you will, to continue to press into this season, all the things that are happening and going on, and say, no, yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the power forever and ever, amen. May this just be a testimony and speak unto your soul to say, look, there's others. I submit. I surrender. I'll serve. Let's watch this together.